There's healing in this. There's restoration in this. The anointing breaks the yoke in this, says the Spirit of grace. For many of you will hear, and it's for your purpose or for the purpose of your own edification, the sound in this season of good report. Take it from a reliable source. That the hope that I'm extending to you will not be defrauded. It will not be abated. It will not be deferred, says the Spirit of grace. Hope in hope. And set your foundation upon this solid rock. He that trusteth in the Lord shall not be ashamed, says the Spirit of grace. For a great season now is upon you. Mark these words. That more and more good reports from various places on every hand, physically, financially, those things that have been being stood for, you'll find that you'll hear that many are receiving. The change is taking place and miracles are taking place. And if you'll receive it into yourself, hope against all hope, says the Spirit of grace. Stand now, knowing this, that my grace is sufficient. For it'll not always be this day, this way, as this day, says the Spirit of grace. But a great sound from heaven is approaching as a wave, a tidal wave of my glory. And to those that will receive it, you'll hear the reports of good things taking place, and it'll lighten your heart. It'll endow you. Yes, sir. If you choose, as many have chosen to stay in a downhearted, pessimistic world of hopelessness, I'll still come and do what I can. But for you that will step up and receive on every hand every good report, even when you say, well, that's not happening to me. I heard something good happen to them. I'm the same God to you as I am to them. Know that your time is coming. Your time is coming, and it's not as if that I'm visiting one and then visiting another. But I'm working with your faith under the application of the trial that you're in. For some are in deeper trials than others, but all are important to me, says the Spirit of grace. I'll lift you up and I'll cause you to stand. But I say unto you, hope is the building block for faith. For if you divorce yourself from hope, then faith has nothing to set its roots in with expectancy. So take joy in the blessings of others. Take joy from every good report that you hear in the body of Christ, where I'm coming or I have come and done something of change in their life. For I am a God and a Father of change, and I'm changing things in the Spirit even this morning for you, says the Spirit of grace. We exalt you, Jesus. Would you just slip up a hand or two and just magnify him? We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. I command things to lessen. I have that authority. We have that authority. I command pains and aches, trouble in general, in Jesus' name, to the bodies. I release the life of God to those that are watching. Jesus. Oro carese carese to. Mondo carese di Dio. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord wants you to, the Lord says that expect something today as the day goes, and do by faith whatever would demonstrate towards the miracle in your body. A stretch, a stand. Some demonstration of your faith going forward. Mokaraso. Miracle. Oh, I feel miracle. I feel the molecule changer. Badahares etietata. We're running across the field, Father. We're running across the field. We're running across the field. Jesus, 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 Jesus. We're not just after headaches and backaches, sniffles, colds. We're not after something just as insignificant, low class insignificant of flu or COVID. Real simple things. Lord, we're running after. We stand up real bold in your face, unashamedly, unembarrassed. Thank you for blind eyes opening, for limbs growing out. If we can't do this, if this isn't possible in this lifetime, then why the scriptures? Why the promises? Why the pursuit of what we stand in? For you're a God that cannot lie. We'll hold you to this. We don't tremble in asking or standing in these things that are bold. Lord, that we run, that bodies are restored. 80s and 90s were filled. Those in their 80s and 90s are filled with life, strength, vigor of life. A dismissal of everything that causes an impotent body. Makaloso Gresete. We release the power of God. Father, this is no indictment against you. But it's a pitiful, 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 pitiful thing to present revelation without power. It's pitiful. It's embarrassing. It's totally embarrassing. Totally embarrassing. To have a seminar of truth without the demonstration of that truth. With shamefacedness. That's the only way that we could go forward if we did not pursue. Makarese dietala. Mandakarese, bring in. Bring in, Father, the most afflicted in this outpouring. Bring in the most degenerate. Let us see the casting out of many devils. Most of the time, just in quietness. We don't need some kind of demonstration to prove that we have power. But when it is necessary, we will. Hallelujah, Jesus. Manda kerese diada. Manda kerese dio. Vede caroso kerese diate. Jesus. 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 Harry, you can continue to play. Let me just read some scripture that I had, but I didn't know. And you can just listen. You don't even have to turn. Worship God. Just worship God. We worship you, Jesus. Kedesa, kedesa. And he, it's Christ, he spake a parable unto this end, that men ought always to pray and faint not, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man, he asks this question, cometh, when he cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I did print this if I were to share it, and I was in one of those places. I didn't know. The Amplified says, and Jesus are also told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to turn coward. I like that. not to turn a coward, to faint, to lose heart, or to give up. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither reverenced and feared God nor respected or considered man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, "Protect, defend, and give me justice against my adversary." For a time he would not. But later he said within himself, or said to himself, "Though I have neither reverence or fear for God, nor respect or consideration for man, yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me intolerant annoyance and wear me out by her continual coming, or at the last she come and rail on me, or assault me, or strangle me." Then the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says." Please, in passing, I've got two more verses, but please don't let any preacher or friend ever tell you that this is talking about God in the first part of this. He continues to say this is an unjust, not considering God, nor considering man. That should give you an absolute clue to start with. This has nothing to do in the beginning part with your father. "And he will not, and will not, and will not," as in question, "our just God," now here we go concerning him, "defend, protect, and avenge his elect, his chosen ones, who cry to him day and night. Will he defer them and delay help on their behalf? I tell you, he will defend," here's the contrast, "and protect and avenge them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in faith on the earth?" So what is he talking about? He's the objective here, the subject is to always pray. Always stay in a place of prayer. Always to give yourself over to that obedience to which he has dictated. There's not, now I'll say this, if you've come to this church more than a month, there's not one person, not one person in here that he has not come to you, whether you will admit it or not. You may lie, I'm not going to ask anybody, you may lie to yourself. I hope you don't lie out loud to anyone else. But if you say, "I don't know what God has asked me to do," because it's come to you, whether it come to you like a voice or it came to you like, "I know I should be doing that," that's the candle of the Lord. If you say, "I don't know what I should be doing in prayer, I've never heard that," you may have heard that, Pastor Bronk, I'm sorry, very respectful, you're a liar. The objective here is to always pray. To always give yourself over. Everybody in here is different. Your call's different. Your what he expects of you is different based on your call. Only consistent prayer changes things. Only consistent prayer. Now you have an initial change. This silver line is the born again. There's an initial change the day you're born again. I think most everybody in here is probably born again. I don't think I'm teaching to any unsaved. There's an initial change when you step in. That may have been 30 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, whenever it was. 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. What he's talking about there specifically is that you, if you are born again, the old person, which was an old spirit, if we could have unzipped you and looked inside, you have a person, you have a beautiful young lady or a person or young man or old man or where, whoever you are, you were ugly. You were really ugly. I don't care how beautiful you were on the outside, you were ugly. But the moment that you got born again, that spiritual person changed. It had the light of God come into it, and it became pretty because it was filled with the life of God. But the other thing is that it's living in a body. And the body has a memory. And the body has a soul, which is your, the Greek calls it a psuche. It's where you get psychology. The psuchikos man is the man of mind or the man of soul. So the beautiful woman, that's a spirit. The beautiful man, that's a spirit. The silver man or the golden man is the spirit. And he has a mind, but he's also fixated in a body that has its own mind as well. And that's a psuchikos person. Why are you telling me this? Because as long as you live, you're confined to this city. This is the city where both the widow and the unjust judge both live. Now your flesh, you'll never sanctify it in the sense of the word. You can bring it under subjection and sanctify it that way. I pray your whole body, soul, and spirit be sanctified, he said, unto the coming of the Lord. But you'll never redeem this flesh. It's going to drop off. And even the natural soul, which is the natural soul, is contained in the gray matter of the brain. In that natural soul, you have emotions, affections. You can partially love there. But the deeper person, the golden man, the golden woman, the beautiful you or the beautiful person, that is where Christ is at, and that's where all communication comes, and that's where all love, and you really can think out of that person. You can really, that's where you hear God and communicate. If Kenneth Hagin said, if you could just, he was being facetiously funny, but he said, if you can just could cut Christians' heads off and they could live without their head, they'd just live a victorious life always. If you could just live out of that place where the dictates of the Spirit and the mind of the Spirit, psychology won't help you. There's tweaks in it that'll kind of got parts of truth, but Sigmund Freud, the father of psychology, he died an awful, awful death. They think basically it was a self-induced suicide, possibly. But he had cancer so bad in his mouth that he'd suffered for years, and he just begged for those overdoses of morphine. Crazy in his thought processes, and yet psychology has evolved from that. If you peel that away and you peel that, listen, peeling that away and peeling that away and peeling that away usually brings even more desperation. Only the Holy Spirit can come in and bring forth total healing and restoration. If you think I'm a victim, as long as the enemy can tell you I'm a victim of the past, what my mama did, what my daddy did, what my brother did, what my brothers did to me. If you're a young lady and you suffered incest. But once you step over that line, you become a new creature. The only thing is, you're still zipped up in this body. It will still follow you if you don't step into all that Christ has pronounced that you are. Unless you turn and say, hey, no, I'm not going to live a victimized life. And when you do that, he rubs in the oils of healing and restoration. And it's not like you can't remember it, but the hurt and the sting goes away. Glory be to God. But if you follow the world's psychology and say, that's where those, and I've had brothers that I respected that got off. We're going to pull you into a room and sit you down, and we're going to go back. Let's go back. Let's go. That's called hypnosis, almost. Let's peel that away. You've got a private place where he'll come in and heal all of that. Glory be to God. You're all supposed to be running with no inhibitions. This is a ball and chain that I've carried for years. Maybe so, but let it. Now's the time to cut it off. Well, how do you do that? Because there is a man that sits as an unjust judge. The play actors here are the city. We describe the city as the place where we people live. That's in this tabernacle. The entire being of the person. The tabernacle is you, where you live, or what you live in. A city is a place where people live, so we understand that. The entire being of a person. Again, I repeat, the tabernacle, you, where you live. And I quoted this, but I had it in my notes. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Every part of you is necessary for God's full manifestation of revival. In other words, now I'm talking to revivalists. You know, some people, when they come in here, they have to fiddle with their phones or they have to do something. You know why? I don't condemn them. They're hiding. They're hiding. And so it's a place, it's a good place like... It bothers me, it bothers them, it bothers people, some of the things I say, because it gets too quick close to where they live. And so they've got to be involved in their phones, or they've got to be involved in something else, because they're hurting. So it's hard to sit. I'm not trying to ever be mean to people. I want to help heal people, but this kind of puts... you right in front of yourself. It does. It puts you right in front of yourself. And you kind of want, like, you know, I've hurt so bad at times in the past where I'd just rather watch TV than deal with me. Or, you know, overeating is not, you don't want to look at you. The reason why people get so big sometimes is because they're hurting, they're hurting, they're hurting. Now, that's not everybody, I mean. He is getting real to help people. The word, well, let me just clarify the judge. The judge is not to be considered, he's not, when we say the judge, or the word Jesus said there's an unjust judge there. He's not to be considered as in this tabernacle as the ruling judge, but he's to be understood as an existing judge in the city. Does that make sense? There is more than one judge living in this city. There's a judge. Eventually, we find that the widow becomes the ruling judge, really. And the reason why he calls her the widow, it's someone with no prominence. And I will clarify by saying this, the no prominence factor is in the eyes of the beholder. What does that mean? The judge beholds her as a widow. That voice, he judges her as a widow. The judge does not regard, as we read, man, God or man. That's how he sees this voice that comes before him. The widow is the widow in his eyes. The widow, in truth, actually rules the city through eventual persuasion. Now, the word avenge here, ekadiko, iho, it means to vindicate, retaliate, or punish. It means to carry out justice, for example, to revenge. Avenging is the word to carry out in a justice way. The church has to avenge us. Now here I'm going to put it in our corporate. The church has to avenge centuries of no power demonstrated in the kingdom of God. And the inconsistencies of the flesh that judges, that it must be pacified. Oftentimes, the inconsistencies of the flesh must be pacified with emotion and inspiration. You know what? That in itself, in other words, that's probably the greatest lie against revival and all of us growing up, is that we need inspiration through emotion. That I need something to inspire me to do what I know that God's told me to do. And if we learn that this widow, or the voice of what this unjust judge says, I don't really see the flesh, your body, if you could live 1,000 years and do 100 fasts, every fast only brings it back down to a place of maybe of killing the thorn seeds. But it's got a genetic code. It's got a it's programmed. It's, you can't get the genetic code out of the body or out of the flesh. You step back and leave it alone for a while, and all those, even though they were dead, those thorn seeds and inconsistencies and torments will come right back. They'll grow right back. That's why it's so important to keep a consistent life. That's why Jesus was teaching men ought always to pray and not cower down. So when we need, here's the example. The widow is really our spirit. Somebody said, well, that, I don't understand that, because, well, we just explained. It's not our spirit is the ruling class. But your flesh, your flesh looks at your spirit with disrespect. Except your spirit raises up and says, no, I will consistently stand in a place where I will not be tolerant. I'll not be tolerant. This is who I am. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm set free. I am who he says I am. I am healthy. I'm wealthy. I'm wise. I'm filled with all of everything that Christ says I am. Hallelujah. I need some Cali pearls in here. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Mavis. Hallelujah. You get the star for the day. Hallelujah. And Marty, I'm burning up here. I think it's the shirt I got on. I don't know what it is. Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. One of the greatest threats against the outpouring of revival is the flesh that demands, as I said, inspiration or feelings for obedience. You know, you'll get people sometimes praying because they feel inspired. But when the inspiration goes and there's no feeling, that's when the prayer stops. This widow, or this place of consistency, listen, presence is wonderful. But the only way to go to where he wants us to go, you personally or your family or your business, is that you're going to have to step up past any non-feelings of inspiration. Non-feelings of, I feel inspired. If you're looking for inspiration, you're going to find some days there are no inspiration. And the unjust judge is going to say, I rule that you can't have this. Your flesh is going to say, you can't have this. And you're going to have to step up and say, I don't feel it today. I didn't even feel it yesterday. But I will be consistent. I'll come to church. I'll have prayer in my family. Please, all you fathers and mothers, I'm begging you, have prayer in your homes. It doesn't have to be an hour. It doesn't have to be 30 minutes. It doesn't even have to. I'm talking about with those that are 18 and or under 18, your teenagers, your little ones. You don't even have to do it every night. But listen, there's something coming. And I'm not talking about revival. There's ugly, there's some bad stuff coming. Bad stuff coming. Somebody has, people have wrote me and said, I'm anxious to hear what your take is on Revelation. And people know that I'm really digging in. I'm digging in on Revelation. God is. I'm just listening to it over and over and reading it over and over and over. I'm not ready to teach it. But I will say this. I can get permission on this. I can give you this. For those of you that are interested, of the 22 chapters that I'm absorbing, and they're all just kind of congealing. They're starting to, this and that one starting to, and other scriptures they're congealing. They're coming in to folk. Can I tell you this? I hope you're ready for it. I haven't found any place. It's just not there. It's just not there where we escape. Where we escape the tribulation. At least a portion of it. At least a good portion of it. So if you think that we're going to escape, the Left Behind series was wrong. It's like, it was wrong. They were wrong. I'm sorry. So get ready. It may be worse in certain parts of the earth, and I can see some of that as well. But I'm not ready to teach it. But your daughters and your sons need to have. Please do this. Please do this. Please do this. My daughters were angry with me at times when I made them sit there. And I don't even advocate that you be as strict as I was. I'm trying to get, but you need to have them praying and praying in tongues. And you can't just, you got to entice them to do that, but then you needed to do that because excuse me, it's like White Earp said, hell's coming, but in a negative way. Hell's coming. There's a dichotomy because there's a crossover. This revival is taking place. It will take place. And much, we can still see an incredible change to some degree in America, and I'm believing for that. But the temptations that your children are going to go through, you're going to be so glad that you said, I prepared them, I prepared my daughters, I prepared my sons. And they're going to be all right. They're really going to be all right. But you better, if you're thinking about that your involvement with them is going to be enough, like, do stuff with them. Do stuff. If you want to put them, if they want to do baseball or basketball, as long as it doesn't take you out of church, do stuff with them. If they want to play soccer or what, do stuff with them. Take them fishing, or, you know, nobody goes fishing anymore. That's take your girls to the mall. Fathers, date your daughters. That way, when they get to be older, and some idiot that I want to punch in the face, Pastor, you shouldn't say that, that I want to punch in the face, says, oh, you're just the prettiest thing that's ever been, they'll be like, so? I've heard that all my life. You're not impressive. You don't impress me with that. God wants to bring in every generation in this revival. The baby boomers, the Gen X, millennials, these are the millennials. The Gen Zs, which is the next. And then the Alphas. That's the 13, 14. Sorry if you're not in the early teens. They're the Alphas, Alpha generation. So got some in here that are Gen Zs. But every single one of these generations is encapsulated in this revival. He's called us all to something very, very powerful. We have to stand up in the face of this unjust judge and say, I do not salute you, flesh. You will not, as Sue Carpenter says, you will not rule over me. You will not tell me what to do. Oh, I like it when I feel it. But you know what? You got to come to church when you don't feel it. You got to pray when you don't feel it. You got to get with the kids when you don't feel it, when it's like, ah, I'm tired tonight. And, you know, listen, two or three times a week, do something. Do something. Don't leave it to anything. Don't leave it to church. Don't leave it to Christian schools. Don't leave it to anything else. Consistency in prayer will produce, it'll produce God emotions. God emotions are wonderful. They're high too. They'll keep you on a wonderful high, but they're consistent. The anointing that is experienced at church, whatever you feel in here, it is supposed to turn into obedience that will bring forth grace. Now you'll come in here, you'll hear this, you'll feel it, and you most everybody is like, okay, I'll do that. That's the anointing, because it's having an effect on your emotions and your. Then you've got to go out of here, and then on Monday or whatever, then you don't feel that anointing. That's gone. It's lifted. But grace is there, and you don't feel the grace, but you don't feel the grace until you obey. But when you obey, see, grace doesn't precede. The emotion doesn't necessarily always precede. I would love for the emotion and the inspiration precede obedience, because then it would make obedience easier. But it's like, no, grace is this. It demands or expects obedience before it fills, before you feel it. But once you say, I'll do this, I'll commit, I don't feel like it, I don't feel like spending this few moments in prayer or an hour or half hour or 15 minutes, give him 15. But when you do, it gets contagious. Hallelujah. We're done. Except that I've just got to read this without comment. Then he said unto him, a certain man had a great supper and bade many, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come on over here and help us with revival. For all things are now ready. And they with all one consent began to make excuse. The first said, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee have me excused. Now, buying property is perfectly fine with God, except when it starts taking you out of church and out of prayer and out of make $10 million, make $50 million. I hope all of you get so rich you can't. But it won't. If you really get rich for God, there'll just be a portion of it that you want to keep. And the biggest portion, tithing, oh yeah, you should tithe. You should come to the place where you're tithing about 10% to you and about 90% to the Lord. That's the end result. But if you get several CDs and several IRAs and 18 properties and 37 houses, and I'm exaggerating, and you wind up being worth tens of millions, put these on. They're blinders. They're blinders. He said, when riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Have them, do the stewardship and the accounting on them, but continually confess, that's not where my heart is. And some of you are on the low end, where it's like, that's not a problem. But in a good way, it should be a problem. He wants you to have enough where you're having to stay ahead of it and say, Jesus is my Lord. Hallelujah. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I have all this equipment and stuff. And I go to prove them, and I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, how you doing, Robert? You good? Another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. You know, we won't expand that too far. Wives are supposed to be something of pleasure. And that could be anything. And we're not blaming wives on taking men out of their walk with the Lord. We're just saying, I'm preoccupied with the pleasures of life. So that servant came, and he showed this after he had heard these excuses to his Lord, these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And that's what we're after. We're after that. I study. I want to get up here and sound in His anointing intelligent and give intelligent revelation where you comprehend and say, I don't go out of there saying, what did he say? I don't understand. Did you come out and say, okay, that was pretty good. I got something out of that. I want to do that. But if I want that coupled with an extreme level of an anointing that not only as I want to be a teacher like unto Jesus. What was he? He demonstrated the truth that he taught. He demonstrated the truth. Okay, I'll teach you, but then I'll demonstrate what I'm talking about. So that's where we're headed. We don't condemn ourselves for our level, but we're incredibly dissatisfied in a good sense. And the servant said, Lord, it's done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden originally, and I don't want to ever be in that category, shall taste of my supper. And there went, this is the second part of the same, went a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, he's still thinking about this. This is still part of the context of this particular subject. If any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brethren, because he's listing all those things that were just excuses for the reasons why people didn't do what they were supposed to be doing, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross, come after me, cannot be my disciple. And of course, you understand he's not saying that you vehemently hate them, but as in regards to, your regards to them as in comparison. For which of you intending to build a tower, his life, his finances, his home, his body, his entire being, sitteth not down first and counts the cost whether he has sufficient to finish it, lest in the beginning happily he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish, and all that behold it begin to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I don't want to end my life where people are like, what was that guy's name that he really had a bunch of people inspired about revival? And they said they were headed someplace, and man, I don't know what happened to him. He fell off the planet. Say, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king? Now he's talking about spiritual things here. Sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000 widow, considerably in a sense of the word, versus strong man judgment or judge of the city. Or else, while the other is yet a great while off, he sendeth ambassage or ambassadors and desires. In other words, whatever the wisdom of God is to make this thing happen and be successful, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, and he cannot be my disciple. We're trying, and by God's grace, we're producing disciples that will help us, you included, watching in this outpouring. But please, please step over the line and do those things that are applicable in the spirit for change. For change. And God will meet you wherever you're at. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Thank you, Father. Lift your hands, if you would, please, with me, and let's just receive God's grace in this word. We glorify you, Jesus. Sing for us and lead us in this chorus that you played for an hour. Hallelujah. Now just a few more minutes and we'll even be out of here before 12 by the time I even get this done. But if you're in here this morning, and I don't know that there is anybody here, but mainly through the camera, everybody praying and just staying in an attitude of prayer with me to produce this. Father, if there's anyone that does not know you, usually everyone that's watching is somebody that's a Christian that's wanting to grow. But Lord, I'm agreeing with everyone in this room, and I'm agreeing with the people that are watching, that the names they have before you concerning salvation, that these are manifested. I say in the name of Jesus, would you say this with me? I say that in Jesus' name, all the fathers, the husbands, the wives, the children, the aunts and uncles that are being prayed for by this assembly and individuals in this assembly and everyone out there, we agree with them, Father. Send forth labors, angels, Holy Spirit, visions, dreams, encounters of every sort. We call them saved in the name of Jesus. And if you're watching this morning, or if you're here, just say, if you're not born again, it's as simple as asking Christ into your life. I think that is so self-explanatory every service. Most people in America understand it's doing it with heart. Just saying, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and wash me in your blood. And that happens. We've got a discipleship training. It's very easy. We wanted to make it easy. It doesn't even sound religious. We tried to keep religiosity out of it. It's on the it's transcript on the face page of our website. So go there if you need it. Teach you how to get filled with the Spirit, how to confess the Word, how to meditate the Word. We love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, and I bless you in Jesus' name. We'll see many of you tonight at prayer, whether through the camera or here physically. Amen.